high in that rock, in that rock. I will high, oh yes, in that shadow. I will abide when the storms of life come sweeping over me. In that rock, I will high. Mudumbo, mudumbo, chawanda, nichawanda, mumumpuri, nichagara, kanana mutenyika, zouya kwandiri, mudumbo, oh yes, chawanda, one more time, mudumbo, mudumbo, chawanda, nichawanda, mumumpuri, nichagara. Namutenyika zouya kwandiri mudombo chawanda. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, the children of Israel, while Egypt was going on, they were in Goshen on a Friday night. And they were saying, mudombo chawanda. They were worshiping God. You see, we came in, we were downcast, but we lifted high. Amen. Those children who marched around, remember them. They'll be singing here one day. They'll be playing instruments. Because when they went, when the saints go marching, what song were we singing? You see, they marched. We are marching over to Jerusalem. So they receive tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. And I believe one day they'll be singing. Amen. Let's sing that song. I've been delivered. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've been delivered. By His grace, all the bonds of sin are broken. I've been delivered, praise. I've been delivered, I've been delivered, praise. Praise Him, praise Him. Oh yes, by His grace, all the bonds of sin are broken. I've been delivered, praise. There is a big change in, big change. Oh yes, I am so happy, I am so free. He took me out of bondage and to liberty. Oh, 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 big change. There is big change. Took me out of bondage and to liberty. Oh, 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 big change. Oh, give me oil in my lamp. Give me, oh, oh, give me oil in my lamp. I pray, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me, oh, oh, keep me burning till the break. Sing Hosanna with me now, sing Hosanna, Hosanna, say Hosanna to the King, oh, Hosanna, 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 say Hosanna to the King, oh, give me joy in my heart, oh, give me joy. Give me joy, I pray. Just pray on, give me joy in my heart. Keep me, oh, keep me singing. Oh, oh, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Oh, Hosanna, 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 sing Hosanna to the King. Give me peace in my heart. Give me, oh, give me peace. Hallelujah, Lord. Give me peace in my heart. Give me, oh, oh, sing Hosanna to my King. Sing, oh, Hosanna. Hosanna, sing Hosanna
King sing, oh, Hosanna, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King. Oh, make us fishers, oh, keep me. Make us fishers, Lord, please, Lord, give us that spirit, Lord. Make us fishers, Lord, we could bring more to your kingdom. Hallelujah, oh, sing, Hosanna, sing, oh, Hosanna, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King. Oh, Hosanna, 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 sing, Hosanna to the King.
Amen. Hallelujah. Sing Hosanna to the King. Let's sing that song, How Great is Our God. This week it was interesting. The one man came into my workshop where I work. So I had my Bible there, you know. I was reading the Bible, you know, at work early in the mornings. So the man, he looked at my Bible. I don't know if he was disgusted or what, but he looked, he was shocked. I think the man, he said, hey, are there still people on the planet that read the Bible, you know? But when he left, I was happy. I said, Lord, ha, I never testified to this man, but I think the Bible testified to him. It's enough, you know. So we peculiar people. How great is our God? You sing with me, how great is our God? And nobody see how great. How great is our God? How great is our loving God? How great is our God? You sing with me, how great is our God? And nobody see how great. How great is our God? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, the splendor of the King. Hallelujah. Oh, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. He wraps himself in light. Oh, and trembles at it. Oh, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Oh, sing with me, how great is our God? And over see how great. How great is our God? Oh, age to age. Time is in his hand. Hallelujah. The beginning and the end. The beginning and the end. Time. Oh yes. Father speak. The lion and the lamb. The lion and the lamb. You sing it there, brother, sister. Hallelujah. He's an awesome God. Faithful he is. Great, how great is our God. Name above all name above. Singing to him is the name above all name. Worthy, worthy, Lord, you are Lord. Our heart will say, how great is our God? Name above all name. Name above all name. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, my heart will sing. How great is our God? How great is our God? How great is our God? You sing with me, how great is our God, and no one see how great is our God, how great is our loving God, how great is our God. Oh, sing with me, how great is our God, and no one see how great.
how great is our God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give our Lord a hand clap. He deserves more than that. Let's sing a song. We hardly sing about how great he is, how great thou art. Let's sing it to him, and let's sing it with meaning. Hallelujah. And we'll be reminded of all the great things that he's taken us through, the times he's taken us through, where he's brought us from to where we are, as the pastor was saying this morning. When you reminisce on those things, you say, Lord, you're just so great. Amen. Oh, Lord, my God, when I am awesome wonder, consider, oh, hallelujah. Oh, I see the, oh, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe. Then sings my soul, then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Oh, how great thou, how great. Then sings my soul, then sings, so my Savior God, to thee. Oh, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, then feel the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down, when I look, hallelujah, mountain grand, yo, and broke, and feel the jerk, then sings my soul, so my Savior God, to thee, hallelujah, how great thou, how great. Then sings my soul, then sings, so my Savior God, to thee. Oh, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son does spare, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. Oh yes, that on the my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away. Then sings my soul, my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Oh, how great thou, how great. Then sings my soul, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Oh, how great thou art.
Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that we can come once again unto this place, Father, these solemn times, these solemn moments, Lord, when, Father, we come to consider our ways before you once again. When, Father, we approach unto thee, Lord, realizing that our all is in you, that, Father, we can do nothing without you. Hallelujah. And that's how we really desire, Lord, to come humbly upon this evening, Lord, to approach unto thee and to bring all that would be said and all that would be done upon this evening at your hands. To thank you for worship, Lord. To thank you for worship that prepares the way. Father, and now we're asking for your grace. Father, we're asking, Lord, that you will just usher us to that place that you want us to be this night, Lord. Father, we acknowledge our need of thee in everything that we do. And Father, we call upon thy name. And Father, our faith is in you. May you be glorified in your word, be glorified in the midst of your people. Father, overshadow us, Lord, draw nigh unto us, guide us in all that should be said and done. Father, we're committing ourselves to you, even Sister Dube and family not well. We pray for them, Brother Scott not able to make it. We dedicate them into your hands. Lord, you watch over your people, we pray. Bless your people that have gathered. Be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. God bless you, saints, this evening. Thank you very much, Brother George. Thank you, sister. Let's open John chapter 15, saints. Let's get a thought from there. John chapter 15 from verse 4. John 15, verse 4. Up to verse 7. These are scriptures that you would have read from when you're young and you're at Sunday school, and people have been at Sunday school, and you can quite easily read them so many times until you get used to them. But there's a lot more in it. Like the prophet says, concerning inspiration, he says, the kernel, he says, the real power is below the surface. That's what it is, you know. So, this is the words of Jesus. He said, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. Now, we know to abide means to continue, to remain, to continue steadfastly in one place. So to abide, to remain, to stay in one place. That's what Jesus is saying. Stay in me. And he says in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So you may look inside of your life and say, but I don't see much fruit inside of my life. Jesus has answered the question. He said, if you abide in me, and I in you, you shall bring forth much fruit. So it's a real test of the vine. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless his word. Maybe you see that, saints. So I want to take a quote of the prophet who's speaking. I was reading today, if you go and have a look in the message, go and search for the topic, abide in me, just from there, you'll find the prophet, there's 171 different quotes. Now, I didn't have time to read all of them, but I read quite a few of them, and it's quite a powerful thing when you take just a simple thing like that and you search it through the message, because the prophet takes it in many different ways. When he starts speaking about this, the power of abiding, you know, to abide in him, that is what the scripture is exhorting us to do, to abide in him, to remain in him, to continue in him, to be steadfast in him, to stay in the same place as a believer. Now, friend, that's a lot easier said than done. I'm sure that you'll agree with me. You know, to really keep your soul steadfast in Christ. You know, to be drawing from the Lord all the time and to be, you know, in fellowship and communion with the Lord. It's not an easy thing. I'm sure we all can say that. And that's how we have times we can come together for prayer like this, so that we can, you know, unite ourselves together and bring our faith together and seek the blessing of the Lord to quicken us. Amen. That if we've been not staying in the same place spiritually, or we've been, you know, moving to the left or to the right, that, you know, the Lord might minister us to that place, that we might, as we go from this place, have a determination to say, I want to abide in him. Now I want to draw closer to him, because I don't see much fruit inside of my life. No, and I think that would be the desire of every person. In the message, The Supernatural, 1956, the prophet, he speaks about this principle of abiding. And he takes it back to the tabernacle. We know he does this in many ways, in many messages. But he's speaking about the different categories of people under the old covenant, coming to the sanctuary, coming to the tabernacle in the wilderness. He says, look, he says, the people who eat the manna out here on the grounds, so just generally in the camp, you know, in the outer court, he says they were eating the same manna that the high priest ate in the Shekinah glory. But the manna withered away. You know, so he's given us example here to say the people who went within the veil, they were abiding. And there was a difference to the people who would abide. If you could get yourself in the most holy place and abide there, there were certain benefits, there were certain things that took place just because of where you are abiding, you know, where you are staying. And he says, but the same manna fell on this whole of the camp, all of the children of Israel, but those who weren't abiding in him, you know, those who were just out there, he says that that manna, it withered away. And he says, but in the hidden place, it never did wither away. It lasted through the spans of years. Ah, friends, and that's one characteristic of those seasons, that those times in your life when you abide in the Lord, the word remains fresh and the word remains powerful to you. Even if at work, you're at college and a temptation comes up, a trial comes up, you find there's the quickening power is there. You find the word is there. You can ask what you will and the Lord will do it for you. But there's other times when you've been eating the manna during the week, but you're not abiding in him. And then the trial comes, the temptation, the discouragement comes, the sickness comes and so forth. And you find you don't have the overcoming power there. No, you don't have what it takes at that time to really meet up to the situation that you're facing up to. That's how the prophet is typing this. You know, saying that these ones, the eight, but when the real situation came, they couldn't face up to it. He says, and a man who walked in there, where the high priest went beyond the veil, that veil separated the holiest from the holy of holies. And he walked in there, and the veil dropped behind him. He was shut off from the world and the surroundings. He knew nothing in there but the living in the presence of God. So the prophet is going to get on even to say that a person who's abiding in that place, abiding in Christ, you don't pay a lot of attention to what's happening out there. No, you don't really worry about the other things. No, there's something about abiding in him, in his presence, that the prophet says it's soundproof. You know, so you can imagine a man going within the veil, the high priest. You can imagine going into the Shekinah presence of God. You can imagine what could happen in a person, to a person who could abide in there. Now the high priest was only allowed to go in there just for a certain season, just a short space of time to go and offer the blood on the Day of Atonement. But you think of somebody if they could live in that place. And Moses stayed 40 days and 40 nights in the Shekinah on Mount Sinai. Yeah, and that had such an effect inside of his life. It actually tells us in the Bible about Moses. When Moses died, it says Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Amen. Friend, you cannot spend a lingering time in the presence of God and ever be the same. It has a permanent something that it does inside of your life. Even as Moses came down, shining forth with the glory of God. Because he didn't just take a brief visit. If you had just made a brief visit and come out once again, it wouldn't have had much effect inside of his life. People wouldn't have seen much of a change inside of Moses. It wouldn't have affected even his constitution, even his physical makeup. But because, and it looks like if you go and read in Exodus, that he went twice up into the mountain for 40 days. So you can imagine a person spending that amount of time in that place, right in the Shekinah presence of God. That's why his eye never went dim. That's why his natural force as a man. It was difficult for death to get a hold of this man because he had been so much in the Shekinah presence of God. He had been so much abiding in that place for a great season of time. And the prophet says, and a man or woman that ever walks into the Shekinah glory of God, the world is shut off behind him. No matter what the devil says, you don't pay any attention to it. You're living in a different atmosphere. Ah, friends, you don't worry when somebody says something against you. If you're abiding in Christ, but when we're not really abiding, when we're not really drawing strength from the vine, where our union is not real present tense union, when somebody says something about you, you do pay attention to it. Now, when this takes place at work that you don't agree with, you get yourself involved in that. Now, when there's this going on at school and this and that, you find out what's going on over here. But you know, to a person who's been living in that place, friend, when you're in that place, it doesn't matter about those things out there. Now, those things are really meaningless to you. You know, and that's really what it is to abide, and that's what the prophet's saying. You know, in the message, why Christ speaks, the prophet's speaking about Moses and Pharaoh, we know it. And he says, when Pharaoh said, just take the people, just get out of this land. Now, the prophet says, he says, I'm so glad that a man can so completely serve God. till he, the devil, doesn't know what to do with it. You know, a man can be so shut in, a man, a woman, a young person who just desires and is determined to say, I want to abide in the Lord this week. I want to just really get myself in that place and stay in that place. You know, I'll come out just to do my work, but all the time I come out to do my lessons, but my heart is still in that place even when I'm doing my lessons. My friend, that is a difficult person for the devil to get a hold of. When a person's abiding in Christ, you know, you think of the prophet's life, a man who had lived so much in that dimension like that. You know, that no matter where he was, all the time he was saying things like a car overtakes them. I was listening to that testimony this week. A car overtakes them, and the prophet says, you know, we need to pray for those people. They're going to get in trouble up the way. And then those people had an accident up the way. You know, just all the time he's living in this place, this dimension. You know, he was really, really abiding in Christ. Amen. Then he gives us now the example of Aaron's rod. You know, we know it well. But the way that he expresses this, and if you take this rod, this is such a good practical illustration of the difference of abiding. Because if you just took Aaron's rod and put it in for 5 minutes into the most holy place, there would have been very little change and very little difference made to the makeup of that rod. But when that rod was taken and laid overnight in the most holy place, right in the shadow of the Shekinah glory, the power of transformation transformed that rod. Completely transformed that rod. And when they came back the next day, this rod that was dry and dead, it had potential in it. But the only thing that had been lacking, it wasn't abiding in the vine anymore. You know, it had been cut off. It didn't have any way to draw the resources that it needed to manifest what it really was. That's all that it needed. And when it came into that eternal presence once again, and they lay all those rods inside of there, and this one was predestined to it. Look what happened to that rod. Overnight it budded. Then it blossomed. And then it brought forth almonds. It brought forth the fruit that was ordained to bring forth. And that's why Jesus said, if you abide in me, he who abides in me brings forth much fruit. Amen. It's just a natural thing for a person inside of your life. If you're abiding in Christ. But he says, but without me, you can do nothing. You know, when we're not abiding in him, friends, we can do a lot of activity, but there's little real lasting fruit. Yeah, and that's the key, is to abide in him. Yeah, and that's how the prophet says, when they put Aaron's rod in, just nothing but an old dead stick of an olive tree. But once it lay in the presence of God, it yielded what it was supposed to in the beginning. I think fruit is no problem to believe. You don't have to crack your head and wonder about, you know, what am I supposed to do for the Lord? What can I do for the Lord? You just go and abide. Amen. You just shut yourself in with him. You just put your sins under the blood and say, for this season in my life now, I'm going to shut myself in with God. I'm not just going to take a brief visit now and again. But at this time inside of my life, I'm going to stay under his wing. I'm going to take those messages. I'm going to put it on my phone. No matter if I'm on the bus, I'm going to be listening to the messages. When it's my break time at work, I'm going to be in the Word, meditating in the Word. When I get up in the morning, I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek the Lord at the beginning of the day. And then at lunchtime, I'm going to call upon his name. And when I come home in the evening, I'm going to shut myself in my room and not allow anything to disturb me for a season while I call upon his name and bring my soul back in harmony with him and start communing once again with the supernatural realm and start communing with the reality of who the Lord is. Yeah, and if you set your face like that for a few days, it'll be like Aaron's rod. It's impossible for something not to take place inside of your life because that presence will start to work inside of you. And then the reality of the word will start to be quickened to you once again. And you'll start seeing things then. The word said, but I never saw it like this before. Because now you're getting deeper into what the real, real mind of everything is. But the key there is to abide. The prophet says, he says, in one night's time, it budded and blossomed and brought forth almonds. That's the same way that an unbeliever or a sinner who's ever laid in the presence of Almighty God under the influence of the Holy Spirit, he becomes a new creature right then. That's the power of transformation. How can you stay the same? How can you spend time, abide in the presence of God and still think the same? You can't. That's why the prophet says, if somebody does evil against you, go and take the person to pray in the presence of God and stand shoulder to shoulder in the spiritual realm with that person in the presence of God. And he says, and then God will start speaking to you. And then you'll start seeing things about that person. Maybe the devil twisted them up. And he says, when you went into prayer, you had every right to say, this person did me evil. Lord, I don't know why this person's done me evil. But he says, but when you're in his presence now, you'll start seeing it different. He says, you'll start now, you'll put yourself in that person's shoes. And he says, when you come down from that place back to earth again, you'll be feeling sorry for that person. You know, you'll be feeling, but hey, and that you can't be the same. The prophet says it's impossible for one mortal to stand in the presence of God and to condemn another mortal. You can't do it. In that place, it's impossible to bring forth that kind of fruit. You'll bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. You'll bring forth the fruits that you're supposed to bring forth. And that's why, friends, we can do a lot of activity. We can do a lot of outward things. But if we look honestly and assess ourselves inside of our lives, look at the fruit in your life. Look at the unforgiveness inside of your life. Look at the attitudes you've got and so forth. And you can see that. Ask yourself the question, when is the last time that I spent time really abiding in Christ? When was I in fellowship and communion with the Lord for any space of time to really give him an opportunity to deal with my soul, to give him a chance to work with me in the inward man? You know, instead of just popping in and popping out, you know, and it doesn't really achieve very much. And that's what the prophet says about that. He says he becomes a new creature. His life becomes fruitful. Fresh life comes in. And he yields what he was supposed to be, a child of God. You know, there's a fresh life starts coming in again. And you start now expressing a difference. There'll be a different atmosphere inside of your life. Now the word starts becoming different to you. You know, church starts becoming different to you. Prayer meetings become completely transformed to you. You know, and those are the fruits of, you know, when the prophet's speaking of believers, we're all believers, but there's these different realms that believers are living in. But there's only one portion which was typed by the high priest who went was actually abiding in Christ. It was in that place where the Lord really, really would commune with his people. The prophet says, so the sinner, he's like the rod. He was taken off of a tree, the tree of life. He was like, say, an olive branch, whatever. He was took off. And he says, and sinners and lukewarm church members become dry sticks with some kind of a memory that sometime there was a supernatural God of the past. So Aaron's rod, when it's dry, it had all these memories. But I do remember when I used to bring forth fruit. I do remember when there was life inside of me. But it was something in the dim, distant past. You see, because that branch was not abiding in the vine anymore. It had been separated from the vine for quite a length of time. You know, but it still had the potential. And I can think back and say, but I remember what I used to be. I remember when I used to have, you know, a fragrance used to come forth. I remember there was fruits that used to come forth. And people used to partake of the fruits that used to come off me. But it's a far distant past. Because this branch, like the prophet said, like a sinner or a lukewarm person, has long since stopped abiding in Christ, receiving fresh life, drawing from the vine. And Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. He says, you need to abide in me, and then you'll bring forth fruits. So the prophet goes on to say, but if you believe and lay in his presence, he's saying, you know, the stick thinks of the supernatural God of ages gone by. He says, but if you believe and you lay in his presence, it'll produce the same things to you. Amen. You know, so you just take that rod and put it back into the Shekinah again. Just give it time. Let it lay there long enough. Let it not, don't keep taking it out and checking, is it bringing forth fruit? But let it lay in that place for a sufficient amount of time. And the power of transformation, the power of life that is in that place, it's going to bring forth the same fruit that it used to bring forth. It's going to bring forth what is ordained to bring forth. And the prophet says, you will realize if you lay there that you were born sons and daughters of God. And you will yield the fruit of the Spirit. But you can't do it out there in the courts. You see, it doesn't work in the courts. You know, it's got to be an abiding. There's got to be a union. There's got to be a partaking, a drawing near and entering in. And then there's got to be a drawing of the resources now from the vine. It's got to come from there. The prophet says, you can't do it out there in the courts. You've got to do it in here on the inside, hidden away. Ah, friends. And that's why I say this age and this generation is absolutely perfected by the devil, Satan's Eden, to fight against this inside of our lives. Yeah, and this is the real key. He'll go to explain why Jesus told us, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will. Now you all say, but I prayed this and I prayed that, but I don't seem to get a breakthrough. Bring it back to abiding once again. It's not sufficient just to pop in once in a while and come out. That's not abiding. Jesus says, if you abide in me and you allow my word to soak down now, my word to abide in you, to become real, and you fellowship and you give sufficient time for the word to convince you and to quicken your faith and the word to make itself real, that word will now bring forth of its own kind. But it can't happen out there in the courts. It's not going to happen out there. It's not going to happen just within the first veil. That's not the sufficient atmosphere that's there to get this to manifest itself. Now, the whole thing, friends, comes down to abiding. No, to abiding in him. And that's what the prophet is trying to show you. He says, the man out in the courts, he walked in the daylight. Some days like this, he says, raining. Other days, the sun would shine and the nighttime would be dark and stormy. He has his ups and his downs. That's the way you see people. Oh, they say, we're eating the good manner of God. We're believers. We come to church. We hear the word. You know, we fellowship. We do different things like that. He says, that's right, but you're eating the manna. But he says, but where are you living? Where are you living? Where is most of your life spent? You know, it's not just coming to the court and eating your manna, gathering in the morning, and that's, no. He says, where are you living? He says, they're living out there, eating it in an atmosphere that they should not eat it in. But it's only when you go within the veil, that's where the manna is always fresh. That's when the manna has the full potency. The manna can fully do what it's supposed to do to a person when a person partakes of the manna and stays in that place. You see, but when a person's gathering a little bit of manna out there, that's why Israel, so many perished in the wilderness. Some were overcome by this trial, overcome by this temptation. You know, some were complaining about this, murmuring against Moses about this. But you couldn't go inside of there and do that. No, you wouldn't even have that kind of a thought when you get inside of there. The message would be so glorious. It would be so rich. It would be so real. His presence would be so real. You wouldn't be thinking about those other things like that. But the prophet says, where are we living? You know, so he's speaking of, are we abiding? That's what he's trying to say. He says, so the next man, he has another light. That man comes in to the golden altar. So he comes in within the first veil. He's in the, where there's the candlesticks. And he says, it was lit by 7 golden candlesticks. And sometimes them lamps burnt low. And they smoked up the chimneys. You know how a lamp does. And a man who comes to the place where he comes into church, out of the courts, out of being just a lukewarm church member, he comes up to live a pretty good life in Christ. He's separated from the things of the world. So this man's gone deeper. This man now, he doesn't watch the wrong things on YouTube, and he doesn't, you know, speak wrong things with his friends at school. And he's not caught up in the openly sinful things. He says, no, I want to really live a better kind of life. I don't want to do those kind of things. I don't want to speak bad language. Yeah, I don't want to get myself involved in that. But he's come deeper. The prophet says, but he's still living under lights that will get dim and smoke up because they're artificial lights. But when he once walked in behind that holiest of holies and walked into the presence of God and the veil falls behind him, there's a pot of manna where he can eat every day of the week, every hour of the day. There's where he's living in the Shekinah glory. He's abiding now, you see? We're in the wings of the cherubim. The Shekinah rested there. He's living there. And he can't be anything but a genuine Christian all the time. And the prophet says, atmosphere.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Ah, friends. We all know it takes time to create an atmosphere. Now, you don't just come straight from the affairs of this life and you get straight into the atmosphere where all things are possible. It doesn't work like that. Amen. You know, there's got to be a taking off your shoes, and there's got to be a certain approach and a certain way that you come. And you've got to be washed at the laver. You've got to be washed in the waters of the word. Now, there's got to be a prayerfulness and a sincerity. There's got to be a confession of sin. And yeah, you've got to really come through a certain process and separate yourself from those other influences for a while so they lose the effect inside of your human spirit, and you know, they don't cloud up your soul and stuff like that. And then you start to find the atmosphere starts to change. And just as the atmosphere starts to change in this life that you're living, then you've got to get back out there again. Hey, and then tomorrow you've got to start again now. You see? Friends, there's got to be a come a time inside of your life. And your soul is the one that drives you to it, because your soul has a thirst for the unfailing realities of the living God. Hallelujah. There comes a time where you can't just reason away anymore and say, okay, maybe it's this, maybe that. But there comes a time you say, I need him. Yeah. Like David says, my soul thirsts for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? I want to behold his glory as I did in the sanctuary. You know, there comes a time inside of your soul that they're just popping in and popping out. Your soul isn't satisfied anymore. Your soul doesn't have the nutrition, doesn't have the nourishment. You feel there's not the atmosphere there anymore. And you say, no, but what am I supposed to do? And then the Lord says, you're supposed to abide in me because you're a branch, am I in the vine? Without me, you can do nothing. That's all that it is to come back and abide in him. No, and who is he? He's the word. He's the anointed word of every age. That's who he is. So the prophet says, man and woman who live there are misunderstood. Yeah? He says, you see, they become peculiar. It's like Simeon. Simeon was abiding in Christ. He was abiding in the Lord. You know, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Yeah, and he departed not. He was there. He was waiting upon the Lord. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And that's how when Jesus came in that day to be circumcised, straight away the Holy Ghost could move him. And what about Anna the prophetess, who departed not from the temple night and day? But she fasted and prayed. She ministered to the Lord continually, the Bible says. Friend, that's a powerful life. Amen. That's a life that's going to bring forth the fruits it was ordained to bring forth. But this age wants to rob us of that. You know, the activities of this age, and especially the phone, you know, the digital world is the greatest enemy of that. We need our phones. We need to be able to contact. There's nothing wrong with those things in a measure, but now, for someone to really abide in the Lord now, it needs extreme discipline. Yes. It needs you to be so disciplined inside of your life, not to be sidetracked and to be pulled off into all these secondary things which don't have the anointing of the message on them. Now, there's so many things people will send you and so many things that you'll watch. And you'll say, okay, there's truth there, but that doesn't satisfy my soul. Because it's only where the Shekinah is dwelling, God's provided place of worship. You know, where the Shekinah is dwelling above the ark, where there was the word, the tables of stone. That's the real abiding place, is in the message of the hour. And you'll find it's only the message of the hour. Now, when you abide and you're in a spiritual realm and you feed yourself on the message of the hour, there's nothing else will satisfy the soul of a believer. All of these other things are just the devil's distraction, to be honest with you. It's just the devil stealing our time and robbing our time from the real thing and trying to sidetrack us and keep us busy, because he knows what's going to happen to his kingdom if you get in there and you spend sufficient time in there, because you would have seen it in your past. You would have seen it in the lives of other people, and he knows the potential of a life that's abiding in him. He knows the potential of that. And that's why there's this great, great conflict that continually takes place. That's why the prophet says, men and women who live there are misunderstood. They don't hear the things of the world. They don't want to hear the things of the world because they've heard a heavenly music. They've heard a heavenly chord. No, they've heard something that is so sweet that when you come back from abiding and then you come and listen to the things of this world, it's a discord to you. Like you can imagine Moses coming down from the mount and he's so filled with the glory of God like that. And he's been fellowshipping with the Lord, unbroken communion for 40 days and nights. And then he comes down and then he hears that music going on in the camp. And the people are making sport, you know, they're worshiping the golden calf. You can understand why the man was so disappointed that he just takes those tables of stone and throws them down. It was such a disappointment to the man, you know, because of that. So the prophet says now, before we come to prayer, he says, God never put that in there for nothing. Those things in the Bible, he says, God didn't put that inside of there for nothing. He says, God never came just for any haphazard way. He says, when the Lord comes, there's a purpose. Yeah. Then the prophet straight away switches it now to prayer, and he says, pray. So he's speaking of abiding, and now he speaks of prayer. He says, prayer is not a perhaps. Prayer is a sincere thing. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is not to get down and shut your eyes and thinking about your washing or your work or you're doing and saying, Lord, help me and John and heal Miss Jones and so forth. He says, that's not prayer. That's just repeating some words. But prayer is to come into an atmosphere. You know, so that's why Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you're going to pray now. Then your prayer is going to be effective. Then you can ask what you will and it shall be given unto you. Can you see that prayer needs an atmosphere? You know, that's why we defeat the prayer meeting before the prayer meeting. Or you defeat prayer in your life during the day. You know, when you're just so busy and so complex and you're shouting here and you're angry there, and then you think you can come now and offer prayer that's really going to break through. It's not going to be an easy thing, friend. Because prayer is an atmosphere. You had to create, and I gave the example once before about why we should come, you know, to have quiet time and to wait upon the Lord before service. Because I gave the example before, and I said, it's like when there's the storm on the sea. When you get out there to the coast and you see where there's a big storm and the waves are dashing against the rocks and the foam and you're so restless and troubled. Even when the storm passes by, and it's blue sky and it takes time for that sea to settle down. It takes a day or two for those waves now to start settling down. And when you and I come from the hectic busyness of life and the spiritual warfare of the devil in the mind and the things we're surrounded by, even when you come into the house of the Lord, it's going to take you time for those things to settle down, for that influence to go and for you to come into the right focus. And into the right place spiritually, even to approach the song worship. Is that not true? We all know what it's like to come into a song worship and your mind is still on almost having an accident on the road. And your mind is still on your boss. It wasn't fair what my boss said to me at work. And now it's 5 minutes to go before the end of the song worship and you haven't even really thought of what you're singing. Because the prophet says it's an atmosphere and it needs a certain approach. And that's how we can see it really needs a disciplined kind of a life. It really needs a determination inside of a believer to say, no, 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 no. Like Brother Wilmore was saying on Monday, to determine, to purpose in yourself. To say, no, I'm not going to defile myself from these things this week. I'm going to fast from social media. It's a good thing to fast from sometimes. I'm going to shut myself off. I'm not going to pay attention. I'm not going to go into YouTube. I'm not going to go into Instagram. I'm not going to anything except for there's an emergency that somebody sends me. But I'm going to spend all my time now with the Lord. I'm going to get His word and I'm going to wait upon the Lord in His word. My friend, you will find there'll be a transforming power that will come. Let's finish it up. So the prophet says about prayer. He says prayer is to come into an atmosphere where you realize you're in the presence of God. And you're moving to on then in the deepest of sincerity. First, it's a worship. Jehovah, how I love you. You see it. Then after the worship of prayer, then you come with a sincere heart asking. Then he straight away says, if you abide in me, not to go out from behind the curtains in the world today and run around and then try to get back in the curtains tonight. We've read that one many times. But that's a real truth that he's saying. You know, that you wake up in the morning, you get yourself a little bit behind the curtain in prayer, you listen to morning manna, whatever, into the hustle and bustle of the day, you never think of the Lord again. Then you look at your watch, it's time to go for a prayer meeting. And now you're trying to come into the house of the Lord, trying to get within the veil once again. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do. But if you've got a certain goal and an object in mind, to say, Lord, I have a need. And Lord, you've given us a promise that with two or three are gathered in your name, I'll be there. Lord, I am setting my face towards your house tonight. And Lord, from this morning now, I'm preparing for this evening. I'm going to walk softly. I'm going to be careful of the things that I say. I'm going to be careful how I react and how I behave to my family. Lord, I'm going to be careful how I spend my time. Because, Lord, I need to hear from you. Lord, I need an answer from you. Lord, I need fresh life to come inside of my soul. Lord, I need you once again to manifest yourself on my behalf. My friend, it doesn't matter if everybody else is out of the spirit when you come to the prayer meeting. Like when Hannah went to the tabernacle that day. And everybody else, the prophetess, was gossiping and comparing their clothes and all different. And she had a burden and a desire. And she separated herself and she came to the provided place of worship. And now her heart, she poured it out before the Lord. And friend, she touched him and he blessed her now. And she was no more sad. And she went away from that place different than the way that she came. But it's going to need a different kind of an approach. So the prophet, in finishing off, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, otherwise like Aaron's rod that's pulled up in the Shekinah glory by the golden pot of manna where you can eat it at any time. And he says, and your soul is refreshed and it's blooming and it's yielding. Oh, friend, springtime inside of your soul. But it's so easy to have an autumn inside of your soul. Where the fellowship now, the leaves are starting to go yellow and leaves, the life is gone from the fellowship, is gone from the leaves, and the leaves are still there. You're still having fellowship, but it's not the same life in the fellowship that you used to have. No, you don't have the fruit anymore because there's a certain season of fruitfulness and the tree doesn't have fruit anymore. It's just got leaves. And now in autumn time, the leaves are done. Then you get into winter, there's no leaves on the tree. There's no fruit whatsoever. There's still life, but it's gone down into the roots. But the Lord says, I will restore, says the Lord. Amen. And then there comes the season of springtime once again. And that potential, if those roots are abiding in the right place, like a tree planted by the rivers of water, you'll find just in the God's appointed season, because of where it's abiding, the blossoms start to come, the buds start to come, the fragrance starts to come back again. And it's just a matter of time that the fruit is going to come. And friend, you can assess yourself. I can assess myself to what season is my soul in? Have I been abiding? How is my fellowship with my brothers and sisters? How is my fellowship with the Lord? What about the fruits inside of my life? Friend, every one of these things is a symptom of the stages of abiding or not abiding in the Lord. And the answer is one and the same thing. Jesus has told us, if you don't abide in me, you won't bring forth good fruit. But if you abide in me, you'll bring forth much fruit. He says, the prophet says that, then he says, if you abide in me, he says, you see the failures of the church. He says, it's a failing to that abiding grace of God. Tonight you shout and clap your hands and dance in the aisles, speak in tongues. He says, that's gifts. But gifts is no good unless you are abiding in the Shekinah glory. No matter what gift that you have, you might have a gift of music, a gift of preaching, gift of teaching, gift of whatever type of gift that you have. And you know it yourself, that gift will never fully or properly bring forth what it's supposed to bring if you're not abiding in the vine. If that atmosphere around you, the prophet says, is not godly, Not if you're not abiding in Christ, that it can never bring forth what it's supposed to bring forth. He says, all these things, he says, they're no good, they're not fruitful, they can't yield right unless you're living in the Shekinah presence and the atmosphere around you is godly. He says, and that's the reason that men and women are not permitted to these things, to the spoken word and so forth. He says, because you are God can call a blessing over someone that God has cursed or curse someone that God has blessed. It's an abiding presence to know the will of God. There, that then don't look what the world's going to say about you. It's what God thinks about you. You're living in his presence. Oh, friend, to me, that's a challenge. That's a great challenge in this age. It's a great challenge because it goes beyond profession and it goes to possession. We're not even speaking of the greater works yet. We're just speaking about the fellowship. We're speaking about the fruitfulness of the life. We're speaking about the atmosphere around your soul. Each of those are symptoms of how you are or aren't abiding in Christ. And the good thing about it now, as we come to pray, we have an opportunity tonight to say, Lord, we've had the great physician diagnosing us through his prophet and showing us the symptoms of these kind of things. And now if your doctor goes and he examines you and then says, okay, this is where your problem is, and then he writes the prescription, we know what the prescription is. And we can start tonight by the attitude of our heart and by the way we approach the Lord in prayer tonight, we can start applying the remedy tonight. And that remedy is to abide in him. That remedy is to draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. That remedy is to say, Lord, I want to go deeper. I want to go further. Or you might say, Lord, one more time, Lord. Or you might say, Lord, you have promised to restore. Lord, restore my soul. Lord, restore. Bring me back to my first love. Take me back to my first works. But friend, it's a very personal thing. It depends on the determination of your own soul. How much you desire his presence. How much you desire his blessing. How much you desire to commune with him. And to a soul that really thirsts after the Lord, you'll hold back nothing. You know, you will say, it doesn't matter the cost. It doesn't matter what I have to do. I want to abide in him once again. I want to experience that something, that atmosphere inside of my life that I used to experience. And friends, imagine if each of us this evening sought the Lord like that. Imagine that we all come back again on Sunday and we come back next Friday for prayer meeting and we've been abiding or got closer to him and abiding in a deeper walk with him. Imagine the kind of prayer meeting, the kind of service that we'll have. So let's come to the Lord. Brother George, you can come and sing one song for us, please, brother. And let's come and put ourselves before the Lord, first of all, to say, Lord, search me, O Lord, and try me, Lord, and help me to see where I really, really stand with you. And if there be any evil thing inside of me, Lord, reveal it to me, and Lord, I'll repent. Let's stand, let's sing one song, let's come to a time of prayer, saints. Whatever the Lord has spoken to your heart, let's not rush, but let's come before the Lord with the desire to abide in him.
Mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. Oh,
I could have
fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. For years I have traveled on a road all wrong. My heart had lost its joy and its song. Till place me right where I belong. When mercy rewrote my mercy, 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 mercy. Oh, mercy rewrote, rewrote, rewrote. Mercy rewrote my life.
mercy rewrote my. Oh, mercy, mercy, mercy.
Rewrote, rewrote
God's mercy, rewrote my life. I could have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. Oh, I am. And I'm bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. Should anybody ask, oh, just who I am, tell them I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Jesus has changed my whole life. Should anybody ask, oh, just who I am, tell them I am
Father, coming unto thee, Lord, at this time, and just really, really wanting, Lord, to abide in thee.
Lord Savior, from what Lord Savior? Oh, Father, we know.
Lord Savior. Lord, we call that voice, Lord. Lord, that is what, Lord Savior, keeps us going, Lord Savior. Oh, Father, Lord, can we ever get away from it, Lord? Father, we always want, Lord Savior, to be even in that, Lord Savior, for the presence, Lord Savior, until the times, Lord, that our bodies, Lord Savior, that are so worn out, Lord, but amidst us, Lord, what is that, Lord, desire, Lord Savior, for that height, Lord Savior, that desire, Lord Savior, for that presence, oh God. Oh, Father, Lord Savior, we rejoice, Lord Savior, even at this, Lord Savior. Father, we are grateful, Lord Savior, at what thou hast done, Lord Savior. Oh, we cannot comprehend, Lord. We cannot understand, Lord Savior, in these earthen vessels, Lord. But this mind, Lord Savior, oh, Father, Lord Savior, oh, then we can say, like David said, Lord, Lord, 1,000 will fall. Father, one side, 10,000, one side, Lord. Father, Lord, oh, Father, forms of Lord Savior, wickedness, Lord. May, Lord Savior, be thrown at us, Lord Savior. Oh, Father, Lord Savior, Instagram, Lord, Twitter, Lord, Facebook, Lord Savior. But we, Lord Savior, as sons of God, will create, Lord, command, Lord Savior. Oh, Father, Lord, let, Lord, those things, Lord, be stood, Lord, in the sky, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord Savior, for your loving kindness, Lord. We thank you, Lord Savior, for your grace, Lord. Let me thank you, Lord Savior, for, Lord Savior, your precious, Lord, leading hand, Lord Savior, that has brought us this far, that has given us, Lord Savior. Oh, Father, Lord, grace in abundance, Lord, blessing, Lord, even in abundance, Lord Savior, that we, Lord Savior, today, oh, Father, Lord Savior, can all, Father, oh, gladly say, Lord Savior, oh, that we are, Lord Savior. Oh, Father, Lord Savior, we've been, Lord Savior, we've experienced, Lord, Father, redemption, Lord Savior, and we understand, Lord Savior, oh, Father, Lord Savior, what it is, Lord Savior, oh, God, to be lost, Lord Savior, in sin and shame, but in darkness, Lord Savior, filled, Lord Savior, with, Lord Savior, Father, violence, Lord Savior. But Lord, Father, Lord God, you came, Lord Savior, but you took away those desires, Lord Savior. They may, Lord Savior, have access from time to time, but Lord Savior, we are, Lord Savior, Father. Oh, Father, free, Lord Savior, even on that, Lord Savior, and you give us to thee, Lord Savior, even upon this night, Lord, let me desire, Lord Savior, Father, just, Lord Savior, as your word has been ministered, Lord, and has confirmed, Lord, but to, Lord Savior, just close, Lord Savior, and these, Lord Savior, waters, Lord, that run still and deep, Lord Savior, but it just stayed there, Lord Savior, waiting, Lord, even upon thee, Lord Savior. But we know, Lord Savior, when we, Lord Savior, Father, wait, Lord, even upon thee, Lord Savior, you, Lord Savior, the faithful God, Lord Savior, the Father, who led, Lord Savior, oh, Father, Lord, you said you never leave us, nor forsake us. Father, oh, God, you will always be with us, oh, God. Lord, Father, oh, God, we are faithful, Father. When we, Lord Savior, come like this, Lord. Lord, and Lord Savior, we are charged up, Lord Savior, we will pray. Even in this way, Lord Savior. Oh, God, Lord Savior, what, Lord Savior, can come against us? What God be for us, Lord Savior? Oh, Father, nothing, Lord Savior. We are, Lord Savior, Father. Oh, Lord Savior, Father, almighty Savior, you will be to us. We are your purchased possession, Lord Savior. Father, Lord Savior, your kindness, you keep us, Lord God. Give us, Lord Savior, your grace, Lord. And speak, Lord Savior, shine, Lord Savior. Oh, Father, in this phase of our journey, Lord Savior, we bless your name, Lord Savior. And even these requests set before us, Lord God.
Lord, won't you come, Lord?
In such, Lord, that an atmosphere, what, Lord Savior, can stand before us,
Lord God? That they have,
we are, Lord Savior. Oh, Father, heirs of that promise, Lord Savior. Oh, Father, Lord Savior. No sickness, Lord. No pain, Lord Savior. No distress, Lord Savior. Oh, God, can, Lord Savior. Oh, Father, come by us, Lord Savior. We are, Lord Savior, the Lord.
It will be to the glory and honor of thy kingdom.
Oh, Father, Lord, I commit it to you.
May you walk with them, may you grant them grace, may you keep them, Lord. Father, it is like the hands of your hand.
We are thankful, Lord Savior, but we see, Lord Savior, and then these ready words ministered, Lord. Father, this ready message, Lord. Father, be made flesh, Lord, in all our lives,
and upon the daily place, Lord.
Lord, the only thing, Lord Savior,
watch over him,
Lord Savior, is a little more sincerity,
and show kindness and mercy,
Lord Savior,
and
let them all, Lord Savior,
and watch over them,
Lord Savior, and thereby,
Lord,
and
bless their
that is what we need, Lord Savior. Just be, Lord Savior. Father, we bless your name, Lord Savior. We praise you, Lord. In the fullest time. sanctified to thee. For the enemy, Lord, Lord,
and I'm trusting in you, Lord, won't you hold my hand, Father, and lead me, O God, that when I will take a turn, may it be as I throw tonight. Lord, O God, be merciful to me, O Father, help me, and lead me, O Father, and Lord, I may step where you want me to step, and I worry, Lord, be a lamp unto my feet.
Lord, you know, Lord, train our prayer to guide me, O
Father.
Lord, you know, Lord, the situation.
You have
oh, Father, continue, Lord,
I commit, Lord,
to bring him up, Lord,
change.
Lord, in all, Lord, Savior, we can
Father, you know,
spend some time
that in day, your day and night. Every
Lord,
day,
Savior,
Father,
the
for the sake
Lord,
of the children, that they may receive something from you.
Away.
I pray your blessing upon them,
we thank
that you
Lord,
will continue
Lord,
to strengthen thy
servants.
Lord,
oh
God, be merciful. Lord, and bless them, Father, and anoint them, O God, and send revelation of thy word unto thy servants, Lord, as they wait upon thee. Lord, let thy word come near, Lord, unto them, O Father, and speak, Lord, thy word unto them, a word that's in season, a word for thy children, the manner of the hour. Father, you may give them
answers,
stand before thy people and minister, Lord, thy children into eternal life. Won't you have mercy, O God, and strengthen, Lord, and provide even for the physical needs, even our brother Max, Lord, with his laptop. Lord, O God, won't you grant to him, O Father, one that would never break her, Lord, one that would be faithful at the post of duty as he is faithful. Be merciful, O God, and our brother provide for his needs, O God, and
he
may be welcome, O Father. Lord, and let your own name, Lord, may be glorified, Lord, in every place, Lord, where the world is. Be merciful,
Lord, thank you, Lord, Savior. Lord,
and
I'm a friend, Lord, Savior, and I'm a thank you, Lord, in the
history of the church, how far you have brought us, and now here we stand at this place. Lord, I pray, Lord, Father, that you will continue to guide and to lead this church. May you continue, Lord, show to thy people the things that you need of us, Lord, that your will may be done continually. Father, we thank you that you have strengthened us. We thank you that you have kept us. We thank you, Lord, for your provision. Even
Lord,
for this new job, Father, I am thankful that, Lord, you have done this thing for me. Lord, may you continue to
be
in this time. And Father, oh God, your name, Lord, may you continue to be in this glory and honor. Father,
I
bless you for
no blessing. Our young
I'm
people, Lord,
for your place upon
oh,
my life.
For them.
Continue, Lord, oh, God.
Thou knowest them by
Lord,
name.
I bless
thou knowest
upon
their strength.
Lord,
thou knowest their abundance
of mercy.
Father,
Lord,
you have come out, Lord,
I lead me in the path of righteousness.
Then, Lord,
Lord help
Lord,
me, Father, never to abandon
the
truth,
but
to strengthen me, O God, that I may never turn to the left or right, but to do only thy will, O God, in righteousness. Be merciful now and have us, Father, tonight.
Where we can,
Lord,
Lord,
may you receive the
Lord,
prayer
God,
of thy children. O God, come and create that atmosphere in our hearts. In our hearts, in our homes, around us, everywhere we are, Lord, may the anointing of the word
fall upon us.
May it continue to abide. Lord, may we continue to abide in thy word, O Father. It may shepherd us, it may lead us, it may guide us in our way. Father, we need to depend on you, O Father. Without you, we are nothing. We will get lost as far as but thou art the captain of this ship. Lord, may you continue to shepherd us,
you have thine way.
And to lead us
in the name.
Bring us, O God, to the place where you want
us. Father,
O God,
the Lord, without them, we are nothing, O God. We are incomplete, Lord, Savior, with them. Lord, Savior, from them, Lord. Father, just pray, Lord, Savior, just, Lord, Savior, bring us the whole program, of course. Lord, we ask your grace today. We ask your mercy, Lord, given upon us.
Father, I pray for his
bless you, and we praise you.
May you watch over the
nations.
Let's sing one song, Bracho. sinking deep in sin, far from this peaceful shore.
Hallelujah.
Very deep distinct within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters left a dream,
the mind.
to come and put the other request before the Lord this evening. Let's pray for the Sunday school on Sunday. Let's pray for the service on Sunday. Let's pray for all Amen. The things that lay before us. Amen. The saints gathering tonight to come and pray tonight. Let's really pray for the Lord to bless them and to help them and to take them deeper and higher, and that to quicken them in their prayer, that the Holy Ghost will lead them in the things which they should pray. Because friends, we have a lot of need of prayer. Let's pray for the requests that are before us. Let's pray for them that have traveled. Sister Susan, I know she's away. Let's pray for whatever else, Brother Will, that the Lord lays upon your heart, if you would come. Let's just sing that chorus again. Love lifted me. And then we ask Brother Will to come and put all these requests before the Lord.
Lifted me.
Love lifted me.
Love lifted me.
And your love to us, oh God. Father, if it wasn't for your love, oh God, we don't know where we would be, but we are so thankful that you took us who were worthless, Lord, and you lifted us up, Lord, and you placed us in a place where we are sons and daughters of God. What a privilege that is to us, oh Father. And what a thing, Lord, to think that we don't have to do anything, we don't have to manufacture any fruit. We only just have to abide. Lord, oh God, it is simply said, Lord, but it is very hard many times in this world. For Lord, the world is a shining with lights, Lord, and trying to draw our attention. But we are thankful for your word tonight that has come and homed us again, oh Father, and showed us, oh Father, that where we fail is where we are not abiding. But we are thankful, Father, that you are a God that gives another chance. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us that entrance once more, Father, tonight, that we could once more come into the inner place, Father, in the Holy of Holies, and we could abide in your presence. And we thank you already for the atmosphere, Father, that is in the place, oh Father. May you help us, oh Lord, that even as we go now, Father, to guard that atmosphere jealously, that, Father, we may continue to feed it, Lord, and to give you that chance to continue to create that atmosphere in our souls, oh Father. May you bless every brother, every sister that's here, Lord, every child, oh Father, even as we go tonight, Father, that the meditations of our hearts, Lord, may it be upon that word, that we may continue to abide even as we journey home, Lord, even as we sleep on the bed, even as we rise in the morning, Father, let it be that our meditations may be upon thy word, and that we will abide in that presence throughout the whole day tomorrow, Father. Help us, oh God, for there will be many things come to try and distract our attention, to take us from here to there, Father. But Lord, may it be that it will be on our minds to abide in that presence, and that when we come on Sunday morning, let it not be another plowing again to try and to break an evil atmosphere and to get into a good atmosphere. But if you help us to keep this one, oh God, when we come on Sunday, oh, what could happen in thine house? Lord, the sick will be healed. Every question will be answered. Lord, those that are backslidden will be brought back again. Help us, oh Father, that we may nurture this atmosphere, that we may keep it, Lord, in our houses. Lord, whatever we may do on our phones, let it be, Lord, even in our speech, one with another. Lord, may our eyes continue to behold that atmosphere, that God.
goal that we have when we come into thine house. I pray for thy servants, O God, as they labor tomorrow, Lord, preparing for Sunday, preparing in the songs, preparing, Lord, in the Sunday school lessons, preparing in the preaching of the word. Lord, may you help us, O Father, to be praying for them, O God. Lord, that when you would come on Sunday, let your presence fall in the midst of thy children, that, Father, we may be healed, that we may be strengthened. Lord, that when we leave this place on Sunday, oh God, may we walk out the door and let them behold and see the glory of God in the face of thy people. Lord, even as they did when Moses came down from the mountain. Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. We glorify your name, oh Father. May you bless thy people that have traveled, remembering Brother Greg and his family. Watch over them, O God. Our sister Susan, Lord, may you be with her also. Lord, praying for Sister Dube tonight. May you be watchful over her, Lord, and restore her health, O Father. We pray for our brother Scott and the family. Lord, may you lead them and guide them, Lord, and help them, Father, in these times. Lord, we pray, O Father, for those, Lord, with the broken hands, our brother Clayton, our sister Daniela. Lord, you are the healer, and we can see you doing it, O Father. Let it be, O Father, that you would be merciful to them. Bless our brother Pele also on his journey. Lord, and his niece, we commit into your hands. Father, we pray and ask all these things for your glory, remembering even our brother Maxwell with his laptop, oh God. Father, may you grant grace to our brother and give him one that is faithful, even as he is faithful. We commit this request to you, Father. You know our needs, oh God. We are just waiting in this place, in this atmosphere, that we may see thy will and do it, oh God. So we commend ourselves to you, even as we ask these things, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Let's come to a time of worship before we dismiss. Saints, what do you have for us, by George? Something to worship.
You deserve the glory and the honor.
Oh, yes.
Lord, we lift our hands in worship. As we lift your holy name,
you deserve the glory
and the honor.
The honor, Lord.
Lord, we lift our hands in worship.
As we lift your holy name, you are great. You do miracles so great. No one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. All the glory, Lord,
and the honor.
All the honor, Lord.
Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name.
Oh, you deserve the glory and the honor.
Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name.
You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no
Jehovah, my brother.
Supply.